This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
The historic speech. We're going to break it down. Got Rob Wilson, Mark Howitt, plus Representative Walt Blackmun. The Jeff Horowitz Show starts now. Oh, the historic speech. Oh, it's history in the making. I mean, did you watch it? Did you watch the networks and their pre-coverage? Even Fox News. It was like, come on. Enough already. Enough fawning. We have no media in this country anymore. So annoying. And I turned it off. I didn't even make it to the end. The last 5 minutes, I was like, I'm done. I just can't take it anymore. So we're going to break it down. We're going to break down Biden's historic speech, his address to the joint session of Congress. You're able to stay awake to it. Now, I'm not going to pick on him for, you know, just the sleepy moments. I mean, he's an old guy. This is what it is. But I do want to talk about and break down some of the more outlandish comments from this address to Congress, or call it a State of Union if you want, whatever. Not technically that. But the free everything. The scroll of free stuff. I guess there's people that believe this stuff. Basically, you've got a kid, you're going to be taken care of from pre-K now. It wasn't good enough to do kindergarten through 12. Well, originally it was like first grade through 12. Then you had a kindergarten. Then now it's got to be pre-K. Everybody deserves. Every American deserves 2 years of pre-K now. This is a classic tale of you give a moose a muffin, they're going to want some jam. It never ends. How do you unwind this stuff? It just keeps going and going. So now you got to have 2 years of pre-K. Okay, well, hey, you're done with all of that schooling. Pre-K through 12 now. Now you got to have 2 years of college. Everybody deserves that, don't they? Hey, but you want to go out to the bar? Mom and dad want to go out to the bar or whatever. Go on vacation? I don't know. We got a free daycare. Every American family deserves to have a daycare, have a babysitter if they want. It would be cruel and unusual punishment. Hey, you're short on cash, we'll do a rent moratorium, need some money, we'll do universal basic income. Have another kid, you get more money. Unreal. Folks, we're going to break it all down. Happy to be here with you today. It's just overwhelming the system, absolutely. We've got Representative Walt Blackmun coming up. He watched the speech. He's going to break it down. We're going to also talk about what's going on down at the Arizona legislature. We're going to talk about his run for Congress. I guess he wants to sit there and watch Biden's next year's Biden speech, I guess. Plus, we got to break down and debunk the junk. There's a lot of junk there. I'm going to bring in Mark Howitt, who is back from his big road trip. He'll update us on that, what he saw across America. Plus, he's got some comments on the speech. How about the white supremacy comment? I mean, we can hit on that. How about the comment that firearms incidents and deaths and violence and all that was down during the assault weapons ban? It's not true. And I've had Rob Wilson from Timberline Firearms and Training sit right here and bring you the FBI data. Does Biden really not know that? Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But his people who wrote that, they should know. They know. So we're going to break all that down. Plus, if you got a comment, I'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and chime in on the Just Wireless listener line. The number is 877-971-3971. You'll leave your comments today. I'm not doing the open lines like the last 2 days, but leave your comments. Okay. I will get to breaking down President Biden's speech here throughout the rest of the program, but I want to start off with some Arizona news updates. Let our children breathe. Arizona school board flees as angry parents demand lift of mask mandate for kids. So this is from The Blaze. So school board in Vail, Arizona, I've been to Vail. Vail is kind of, southeast of Tucson. Kind of one of those bedroom communities out in the middle of nowhere. One of those growing a bunch. They were supposed to have a school board meeting Tuesday, and they wound up calling 911 because a group of furious parents swarmed their study session ahead of a demanding of that they drop the mask mandate for the kids. So Vail parents are against the mask mandate. They rallied outside the Vail Education Center while the meeting was set to take place. They held signs chanting, "Let our children breathe, let our children breathe." By the way, did you see this kid in Bend, Oregon, who was running the marathon with the stupid mask outside? Stupid, stupid, stupid. Not the kid, but the stupid officials that continue to let this drama and its idiocy continue. Stupid. You don't need a mask outside. You don't need a mask outside. Get a grip on yourself. In fact, let me divert here for a second. Here's Joy Reid. She has a talk show on MSNBC. She's got this doctor coming on the show, right? And she's talking about masks. Here's what was said.
Gupta and Dr. Gupta, I am among the fully vaccinated, joined Team Pfizer, and I did go jogging today in the park, and I did, this was the mask that I wore with a doctor's mask under it, and most of the people that I saw that were in the park was packed, I would say like 95% of the people still had masks on. There are people who are getting really upset about that. I won't name them. Should people be freaking out that some people like myself who are vaccinated are still wearing masks outdoors? Should we do that?
Well, definitely not. Good evening, Joy. I think you're going to see residual masking based on personal preference for months, if not years, after this pandemic is over. So, no, I think nobody should judge anybody else's personal health decisions. Having said that, I will say that the CDC was well timed to put this out there because there is no data. Frankly, there's not been data for many months now that outdoor transmission is a thing, especially when warm, humid air, where Joy, we know respiratory viruses don't like warm, humid air. They like cold, dry air. So you have warmer weather. You have the fact that more people are vaccinated, the wind currents. There's no way you're going to really get exposed unless maybe you're in a rave or an outdoor concert where you're really close to people who are not masking. Yeah. Outside of that, this is the wise policy.
Everybody swore that you had to do this outside. You had the mayor of LA saying, don't go outside, don't ride your bike. We all knew this was garbage. Remember when President Trump was saying, hey, this should wear down, and he was wrong on the timing, okay. But he was saying, get some sunshine, the warmer. And no, that's not true. And people like me questioned the stupidity of wearing masks outside the whole time through because it's common sense. Oh, but we get banned. We get taken off social media. We get things flagged. We get COVID alerts on the social media, these big tech morons. But now Dr. Gupta, whoever that is, and then Dr. Fauci and all these people, oh, it's okay to do it. You know, and the MIT study came out and said that it was kind of crazy to wear a mask outside and that the chances of getting it are like slim to nothing. And there's more. You know, I hear every day from my daughter, Olivia, who does an awesome job on this show, and I don't think people realize the amount of back-end work that happens behind the scenes to make this go. It's tremendous. So I give them tremendous credit for you hear me, and sometimes you'll hear Olivia, but you don't see the background work that goes into this. So I just want to give a shout-out to them for all the background work that they do, and others, folks. But I hear stories every day from my daughter Olivia about the sprayers. They're going to come around before they sit on the desk, while they're sitting on the desk, and they spray all this crap everywhere, and they're wiping and wiping and wiping and wiping. And my daughter's trying to get out of the way of the spray. And they're trying to get the surfaces, and they're dousing these kids with God knows what. They don't know the impacts of all this. So you got this MIT study that says basically, well, there's been previous studies about the surfaces, and we now know that the surfaces, you know, all that wiping down of everything and spraying down your groceries and all that was all crap. And they now know, and they say in this MIT study that outside it's like you're going to get hit by a meteor before you get this thing. It's ridiculous. Yet we still have limitations on graduation, on the number of people that you can have in an outdoor ceremony. We still have places that are closed and requiring masks. And you still have this person on MSNBC who doubled her masks before she went jogging. She put on two layers of masks to run through a park outside. Seriously. This is a person who has, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people watching every day that people are fawning over. And they do, oh, yeah, double mask. And you got a doctor here saying that, well, don't shame the people to do it, but it doesn't make any sense. Here's what she ended with, Joy Reid.
Well, I mean, the reason that I still do it is that people who are jogging are all breathing, and it's like you're in their backdraft, and it's like if I'm going to run with behind a lot of people, I do it.
I mean, what is she running? Just spittle coming all over the place. Oh my God. Who listens to these people anymore? They should have zero audience. They've been proven to be incompetent. Anyway, back to this article. I diverged there a little bit. So anyway, there's the school. These parents took over the school board meeting. They the school board members fled, and there was no signs of violence or anything. They were just pissed off, and they want their kids back in school without the mask because of all the data. Hashtag science. And they had to call 911, and the school board fled, and they left. And these parents pretty much took over the meeting, and they said in the absence of the actual elected board, the protesting parents, they held their own election by parliamentary procedure by those present and named their own new school board members. That's beautiful. Now, of course, they will not be the board members. It's just not going to happen like that. But it goes to show you, people do peacefully need to take back their governments, their institutions, their school boards, their councils, their county board. I said this in March, April last year. Those that are in power now are going to have a lot to answer for. And man, did I get hammered on social media. Oh, don't politicize this, Jeff. Oh, we're in a pandemic. Oh, everyone's going to die. Unbelievable. The politicians need to answer for all this stuff. That's why I'm not a big fan of Doug Ducey. I know he's signing good bills now. But you can't forget what they do under pressure and how they crack. And for those that were great, reward them, right? By the way, New York's going to open 100%. July 1st, Mayor Bill de Blasio says, another genius leader. I don't know, why not June 23rd? Why not June 15th? I guess the science says that July 1st is the day that they're going to reopen. This is from CNBC. It's the first time the city will be fully reopened in more than a year. This is like a year after half the rest of the country's been open, by the way. First shutdown began in March 2020 when the city became the U.S. epicenter in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, because their governor sent a bunch of people with COVID to the senior homes, and a bunch of people died. It's horrible. Unbelievable. Still in office. So they're going to open up July 1st. So then they're saying that this is for offices, theaters, full strength, full strength. Then I heard that Broadway shows may start by September. Who's left? 4-year community degrees. When we get into Biden's speech here in just a few minutes with Rob Wilson from Timberline Firearms and Training. Actually, this will be in the 5 o'clock hour. And Mark Howitt. And then we're going to come back here in this hour with Representative Walt Blackman. Talk about the education side of Biden's speech. But down at the Arizona legislature, the Senate voted 24-6 yesterday, to give final approval to legislation that would set out conditions for traditional 2-year institutions like your community college to be able to start offering 4-year degrees. I think this is very important because they do it much, much lower cost. Much lower costs. Already passed the House. So this has got strong bipartisan support to allow these college community colleges, which can do it at a fraction of the cost, to give 4-year degrees. I'm fully behind this one. Now, the article, this is from Tucson.com, is saying that Ducey is likely to face a last-ditch effort by the Arizona Board of Regents to get him to veto the bill. You know, Board of Regents, just mind your own business on this. Stop trying to protect your turf. These boards have too much power, the three universities. They're too big. They have all these endowments, which was talked about on the program yesterday, even places like Northern Arizona University, when they gobble up real estate and they don't give explanations why, and they refund money back to the former president when she screws up with her flight plans, things like that. Too powerful. Give the community college, open it up to competition, and that would be your community colleges. And I hope that this thing passes. And that's a good email to send to the governor. Governor, sign, do I have a bill number? Sign to allow community colleges to offer 4-year courses. That's a good one. All right, folks. Love to hear from you. Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Plus, you can send an email. Make it a good one, though. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute. All right, welcome back. If you got a comment, don't forget to chime in on the Just Wireless listener line. I don't have the open lines today. We're going to do that next week. Actually, I think I'm going to do three open line, your live listener comments days next week. So stay tuned for that. Also, if you want to comment by email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And joining me, first time in my studio here, Mark Howitt is back from his trip. Mark, how you doing?
Doing great. This is a neat little studio you got here, Jeff. I'm excited to be in here.
It's comfy and lots of monitors and
good equipment. And
it's good stuff.
High tech. I love it.
It's good stuff. So we'll be doing more and more stuff from in here as time goes on. But you did. Well, let me back. We were texting earlier, and I went out to get some supplies. You know, I'm always tinkering around with building stuff, and I picked up some fence pickets, some just the 1x6 pickets. I was looking at the white wood, which is just Doug fir or something, I think. Or
hemp
white,
fir,
hemp
yeah.
Fir. Okay.
Rots quickly.
And then I looked at the cedar, cedar's always a bunch more. It was 20 cents more for the cedar now for the same thing.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, or something like that. It was weird. It was a weird, I guess that's because everybody needs the 2x4s. And 2x4s, you know, we've been talking, are 7, 8, 9, 10 bucks per 2x4.
It's lumber's gone through the roof. You know,
I
actually bought some Boise Cascade stock. They're one of the big lumber suppliers.
Okay.
It's gone through the roof. It's the best move I've made this year financially, probably.
Yeah, good. You should have bought the 2x4s in advance.
I should have.
All the building
that
and stuff you did.
Been even better. But, you know, stocks are a lot easier to store.
You don't even have to store the certificate anymore. You just, nope. Yeah. But anyway, so you had your big road trip. We're going to get into breaking down Biden's speech here, his address, in just a second. Rob Wilson's still coming up. He's going to break down the assault weapons ban that Biden referred to yesterday, that it was so much better under that. And he said the data shows that. And Rob does not agree with that. So we're going to get with him. Walt Blackman, Representative Walt Blackman, still trying to get him on today. Had to move that. Could be tomorrow now. So we'll keep you up to date. We're trying our best. He's in, they've got all kinds of meetings and stuff. So we will get him for you, though. Don't worry. But you did your road trip. You called in, I think, last week or maybe it was the week before. And what was it like out there? You drove from North. Tell us where you went from and to, first of all, and what you encountered.
So what I did is I flew out to North Carolina and out in the Raleigh area, but just outside of Raleigh, out in the country. And, you know, I think statewide in North Carolina, they still have a mask thing going on because that was being enforced everywhere. A little bit annoying. But then I drove back, stopped through Dallas, Texas, and, you know, drove through Albuquerque and all that. It was an interesting road trip. It went a little quicker than I thought, but one of the things that dawned on me is, you know, ammunition's been really hard to get. So I was like, middle of Arkansas or Tennessee, I can't remember which, small town. I was like, I bet they have ammo.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was
they
able
did
to get
there,
some.
Huh?
Yep, they did have ammo. And bonus, fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that in the Southeast. It was, I think I was back there 4th of July one time, and it's like everybody's blowing stuff up.
I couldn't believe, I stopped into the fireworks store just, you know, check things out, and they had fireworks that were probably 3 foot tall. I mean, this is the, you know, the real deal.
It's like artillery back then.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't ever use that in Arizona.
Well, that's how it was. I'm originally from New York, long time ago. I mean, I moved out here my freshman year of high school, and fireworks were illegal in New York. But everybody had you had to ignore it. It was because every neighbor had a party. Every couple houses, there was a huge party. If they tried to enforce it, it was ridiculous. But yeah, it was like mortar rounds. You're throwing things in. Some interesting times for sure. So,
so it was a little different, you know, and I tried to see what the small towns, which were much more, you know, red counties were like. And they're basically no mask, pretty normal there. You know, you walk into a restaurant, everything's normal. And, you know, then you get to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I have never been excited about that town. Every time I've gone, I'm just like, wow, it is so dumpy here. So, I mean, it's just, you know, if you're from
Albuquerque,
I'm sorry, but it's just dirty. And I actually booked a 3.5-star hotel to stay in. I'm thinking, all right, 3.5 stars, that'll be nice. What a dump. I actually demanded a refund unless the table still had just goo on them. I had to change rooms twice, and I was like, I'm not satisfied with this. I'm out of here. And while I'm leaving, there's a bulldog climbing out of the screen window on the first floor in this 3.5-star hotel.
Wow.
And the riffraff that was coming in wanted to pay cash for rooms because they didn't want to put a credit card for a damage deposit.
Where'd you stay at the CD, you know,
no,
7
was,
or something?
It was a
name brand?
Name brand, wow. Nationwide chain. And I actually just left. I was like, forget it. I'm going to Grant's. Drove another hour and stayed in Grants for the night.
My New Mexico experience last summer when did the road trip during the height of all of this is like June, July, and we're up in the mountains, Tahoe's, and then coming down, and we didn't know, and then they managed to close the state like in the night. Oh. And anybody who's from out of state, you have to self-quarantine or some garbage. Oh, I literally took the plate off the camper. We were like a bunch of criminals in their state. So Albuquerque, but yeah, the claim to fame is like Breaking Bad. So what do you...
I was looking at the murder rates in different states, right?
Yeah, because that's what you do when you're
New Mexico's bored. Top. It's the number three in the United States for murder.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievably high.
Wow.
But, you know, years ago, I was driving through New Mexico late at night, and I was speeding. I was doing 85 and a 75, and a cop pulls me over. You know, it's late night, and I'm cordial, and he gives me the ticket, and he says, okay, now you have to either plead guilty on the ticket or I'm taking you in.
On the spot?
On the spot.
It was like Judge Dredd.
Remember that? Yeah. I'm like, so you're telling me if I don't plead guilty right now, you're going to arrest me, impound my car, make me stay overnight, and then see the judge in the morning? He's like, yeah.
Wow. Sounds like Mexico, something that happened there. I'll take this fine
$500 out of your pocket.
Yeah. Did you plead guilty?
Yeah. So what am I going to do?
You know,
pay for my car to be impounded, you know, spend a night in jail, yada, yada.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, well, you made it back. I've been noticing just over the past couple of weeks, I was out earlier, when I texted you some of these prices, most people they're just saying, I'm done. They're lightening up on the mask issues. Now you've got the new guidance from the CDC saying outside, I played Joy Reid's clip last segment. You know, you don't need to jog with the thing on anymore. We're moving past this. I don't know. It may take years though, by the time people.
It
unwind.
Might, you know, and I just watched Joe Biden's speech this morning.
Oh.
And, you know, there's Nancy Pelosi with two masks on.
Yeah, I saw
that. And the chamber is empty. I mean, there's,
you
know, a couple
they're
dozen
probably all vaccinated, there. I'd imagine. Yeah,
and they're all vaccinated.
It's all of just a facade now.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a control issue and a facade. Yeah.
Well, if you say something like Joe Rogan, we'll get into this issue in a little bit, but like Joe Rogan's podcast, he said something about young people and vaccinations. Man, they ripped him. He was like, hey, if you're healthy, whatever. And Dr. Fauci started hammering him. And
oh, man.
I'm surprised they haven't removed him from his $100 million Spotify deal or whatever. But that's the way it is right now. Hey, by the way, I want to mention this. And Mark, maybe you'll be around. Mark Howitt's with me. There is a concert for the wall, Remembering Our Heroes, with headliner Ryan Weaver, high energy, all American rock and country music artist. This is happening in Williams tomorrow, Friday, April 30th, and it's free.
Nice.
It's free. Downtown Williams. Williams has cranked it through this thing.
They have. No mask mandates.
Yes.
Everything was normal. And
they're all surviving.
No big problem.
Yeah. And Mayor Moore texted me that their schools are back to no masks. Like, they were the first ones, one of the first ones in the state. They were one of the first ones to go back to school. I think it was Mesa School District just said they're ending it. A big school district down in the Phoenix area. So they're ending. Of course, my school's not. But anyway, this is downtown Williams, Friday, April 30th, tomorrow from 6 to 9. If you want to get out there and do something, go on out there and you're supporting a good cause. It is free, but I'm sure they have information there if you want to help out or anything. And it's going to be in downtown Williams. So good stuff. All right, Mark, let's do this. Let's come back and break down. I called it debunking the junk. Let's do that when we come back with Biden's speech.
Break this thing down.
Let's break it down. All right. Folks, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Plus, if you got a comment, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute. By the way, and I meant to mention this yesterday, but we had so many calls on Open Line Wednesday that I never got to it. The state COVID-19 vaccine sites, these are the ones that offer the walk-ins. It's Tucson, Yuma Civic Center, Northern Arizona University and Flag, of course, Gila River Arena, Arizona State University, West World in Scottsdale and Dexcom and Mesa. Anyway, all those state-run places, they're now, I guess they're having trouble, Mark, and Mark Howitt's with me, getting the people, getting enough people to, there's enough doses out there. So they're offering, you don't have to get the appointment apparently at these state-run places if you want to get it. And I know you had COVID, so you're like, eh, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. But,
if you want to get it, hey, I'm all about, you want to do it, you don't. It's about personal choice and individual liberty.
It is. You know, if you want the vaccine, get it. It's a great idea. I'm not getting it. My family's not getting it.
You had it.
We've all had it. Yeah. We've all had COVID. But yeah, my neighbors did go, and they're younger, but they didn't have to wait for their group because they're not finding enough people that actually want to get the vaccine. So there's plenty of doses. If you want it, go get it. You can get it almost anytime.
Yeah, and Biden did say something about, hey, we're going to open this up because there's been complaints around the world that the U.S., is not sharing. We're greedy, basically, because we have more availability for vaccine than anybody, except for the bogus Chinese
vaccine.
Didn't
the U.S. come up with the vaccine?
Well, yeah, that's and that's.
Did you spend all the money for the vaccine?
Yeah,
and all the research.
Warp speed. Did you find that interesting? That I know President Biden and former President Trump are not buds. They're not like having a poker game or something, right?
Yep.
But I think Biden could have elevated himself a little bit by acknowledging President Trump and the warp speed for the vaccine issue. Your thoughts? Is that lacking?
Yeah. I mean, you know, 5 minutes into his speech or so, he claims the Trump success for himself. You know, he's like, I got the vaccines to you. Come on. You know, Operation Warp Speed. And I'll say it was actually, you know, Vice President Pence was a big part of this.
That's true. That's true.
The guy's, he's an excellent guy. I hope he runs for office again.
You think he will?
You know, I don't know if his connection to Trump will hurt him or help him down the road, but he's a sharp guy and really an upright guy. I like him a lot. But yeah, I was appalled at Biden's claim of getting the vaccine out there. You know, at this point, all they're having to do is reproduce it and send it to the vaccine sites. You know, all the work was done under the previous administration.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, it drove me nuts. I found, you know, five of these, and I'm going to call them lies, within the first 8 minutes.
Only five. Wow. Okay.
Just the first 8 minutes.
Yeah.
What tore me up the most was Biden said this last year was the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War.
Yeah.
The last year of Trump.
Well, let's see. There had to have been quite a few others. I can think of 9/11 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I could think of, I'm sure there's many others.
For the 50s.
Yeah. No, I mean it's just, yeah, this is, well, there wasn't there an attack in D.C.? Some kind of bombing or something. Was it in the 80s or 90s?
In the 80s,
something.
Yeah. Left-wing group bombed the Senate.
Yeah, and then in the maybe 20s or 30s, there was a lot of bad stuff happening. I mean,
what a joke.
Come on. Yeah, and really, it's...
And to tie it to the Civil War, he's trying to make...
Paint an image here.
He's trying to paint an image of the last president as a racist, which isn't true.
You know what I didn't like, Mark, is... The media in the beginning, and then get back to yours. You got one there. You got four more. Historic. It's so historic. It's so, and I know you watched it this morning, so you probably didn't see all the media, the talking heads. But it was like, hey, come on. It's just.
You know, I will give Biden this credit. He didn't stumble too much. He actually read the teleprompters.
He actually did, yeah.
He read the teleprompters really well.
Yeah.
Which was surprising.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to really bundle.
I mean, he had some energy. It's kind of like a roller coaster. He would burst up and it was energetic. Yeah. And then other times it was like, I mean, he's an older guy, so I'm not going to hit on him for that. You know, he delivered it. Okay. But look at this headline, Arizona Central. Why President Joe Biden's first speech to Congress marked a turning point for TV news. That's the headline, right? Okay. Remember how nice regular can be? Wednesday night was a reminder, at least on the political front, when President Joe Biden gave his first address to a joint session of Congress. He spoke for more than an hour, touting his administration's achievements, particularly on the COVID-19 front, without mentioning President Trump, of course, and laying out his hugely ambitious plans for the future. It's just like, you know, it was not regular to say that we're going to go full on socialism. That wasn't regular. He rolled out the scroll of free stuff, Mark.
You know, and we can go through here and point out a number of the problems with the individual plans, but overall the big issue is he was teaching the public to rely on the government for everything.
Yes.
For your preschool, for your childcare, for your health, for your income, you name it. It's like rely on the government. Don't take care of yourself. Don't take care of others in your community. Just look to the government.
Yes.
That was the overall message.
That's the training that's going on. And in my notes here, I have 2 years, and I think I mentioned this last segment, 2 years of pre-K, or the opening segment, 2 years of pre-K. So we went from basically first grade to 12th grade. You're going to get that education for free. Okay. It was many, many decades ago, right?
Yep.
And then we're now at a point where, okay, that's not good enough. By the time you're 18, we need to give you 2 more years. Oh, and by the way, if you got to get your kids in, studies show, Mark, that you got to do pre-K, 2 years before school. And then they added kindergarten in there somewhere. You know, that's essential now. And now, Mark, if you want to go down to the bar or the bowling alley and take a break, well, you deserve the government to pay for that daycare, right? Is that what you took away? Cradle to grave.
If you want to say what studies really show, look at how much more advanced homeschoolers are than kids in the public school system. Yeah. And, if the public school system was functioning right, 12 years of education would get you a job.
Yeah, it should be good.
It should be good. You should be well-educated after 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically 14 years. You start, well, maybe 13, 14 years in school.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't go to college, but I'm saying where's the gearing up and getting them ready? No, we need 2 more. And then it's going to be 4 more.
Yeah. Acknowledging that the public school system has failed, so just do more of it. It's the classic government solution.
Exactly. So what's another big fail on your list of five there? Or lie? Well, you said lies.
The second lie, last year was the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
Mm.
Are you kidding me?
We haven't seen it yet, I don't think.
No.
They actually put it off.
Surprisingly, a lot of places are, instead of facing shortfalls, they're facing extra revenues, a lot of jurisdictions.
Yeah.
And construction.
Arizona's in that position with the state budget and municipalities. Yeah.
And, construction's booming. Another, technology sectors are booming. Restaurants, not booming. But, that's not the worst collapse since the Great Depression.
No.
This wasn't even as bad as the Great Recession 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I remember the fear and the troubles. It took us years to get back from the Great Recession. Now, I will say I think they've ponied a lot of this up. They've pumped in historic amounts of money.
Yeah.
Remember when 600 and whatever billion they did during the Great Recession was the moral hazard and the great problem? Well, wow. And we had a great call yesterday. John called in and said, well, this all started with that, bailing out those companies. Well, now we bail out the companies and the individuals, everybody. Everybody
just
gets a bailout.
Just keep printing free money. Everybody. And honestly, I've lost track of how many trillions it is at
right now. Last I checked, I think it was like seven.
Seven trillion.
Who the heck knows?
In 1 year. I mean, it's...
And this Biden's... Come on, where's this article from AZ Central about what a farce this all is to do all this stuff?
It is.
And maybe they will get it. I don't know. You know what I found interesting was that his comment that nobody can do it but the government. I don't know the exact quote here. Did you remember that? It's too big. Things are too... Nobody can do it but the government.
Yep.
Come on.
That goes along the same lines of such and such company is too big to fail. Baloney. Let them fail. Somebody else will pop up.
Somebody. Bruce brought that up yesterday. The airlines. What are you going to do? Scuttle the planes? No, the planes would still be for sale.
Yep.
The warehouse where whatever company was at would still be an asset, and somebody would buy it and run it better.
Do you remember TWA Airlines?
Yeah.
Biggest in the world.
For a long time, yeah.
Gone, right?
Gone. Somebody's absorbed it.
Yeah.
Pan Am. Yep.
All these airlines. They went away. Somebody else got their planes. Life moves on.
You remember this huge company. I mean, they were like the Amazon of the day. They had big catalogs. Everybody bought everything from them. Sears. There's still something around, I think.
They were too big to fail. Wait, they
Kmart,
did, and they're gone.
Let's see, Woolworths. I don't know. Are they still around? Or those five and dime thing? I mean, these are big companies. Radio Shack, I mean, what do we live in a world where, Mark, nobody's supposed to fail. Nobody's supposed to go broke.
I don't dislike any of these companies that failed, but the reality is if you run your company poorly and you don't keep up with the times, you're likely to fail.
Yeah. No, it's a good point.
And somebody else will buy your planes, your stores, your inventory, whatever. The other thing he said was, this last rescue package of whatever trillions it was.
Yeah.
He said Dems and Republicans passed it together. Well, actually no Republicans voted for it.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. Yeah, okay. No, that was party line.
3 minutes and 45 seconds into the speech.
You have that time.
I wrote it down. I was like, did you really just... He not only said it, he repeated it. I'm like, that is a blatant lie. Republicans...
Did he go off script, or they just put it in there bogus?
Maybe he's reading the teleprompter.
Yeah, somebody put it in. But no, this was all straight. All of this stuff, we talk about unity. All of this stuff is making disunity because they're doing it, just cramming it through, just like Obamacare. How about the white supremacy comment? Did you catch that?
Which one was that one?
He said something like he was talking about pulling out of Afghanistan, and he was talking about terrorism, and we beat terrorism, the biggest terror. I should have saved the quote.
One thing.
Here. White supremacy, and we won't ignore what our own intelligence agencies have determined. This is a quote. The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today is from white supremacist terrorists.
Oh my goodness.
He said that, and I was just like, I did a double take. I was like, how did you wrench that in there? How did you manage to get that in there with a straight face?
Are you kidding? I mean, during the Obama era, in 1 year alone, they caught 80 Islamic terrorists in this country planning to do terrorist attacks.
Biden was vice president.
Yeah, exactly.
Not long ago. Okay, give me another one here.
You know, the next thing was cars lined up for miles food boxes. What are you talking about?
My wife's not a super vocal political person, but she was actually, and she's going to get mad at me for saying this, Mark, but she was actually yelling at the TV when he said that. Yeah. Oh, and new cars lining. There was some pictures back in at the height of this.
Goodness.
But when you offer free,
people are going to line up. It's not for miles.
Yeah, miles.
And you know what they were doing is the schools, in order to keep get their federal funding, you know, to continue, they had to keep giving away lunches.
Oh, yeah.
So they said, let's just give them to the general public for free. And that way they had the federal dollars continue to roll into their school district. There was no reason to give those lunches away other than to get federal money.
You hit on a sore subject for me. When I drive by those locations, I do it with a little bit of gritting my teeth. Let me back up. I don't want anyone to go hungry. If you need food, I want you to get food. But they had these people, I assume staff members or whatever, out there on the street with signs, free food, free food. Everybody. And look, again, if you're hungry, fine. But I just had this, I think it creates give a person a fish versus teaching them how to catch a fish
thing. Oh, it does.
And it went on for months. Is that what was going on? It was the funding thing, huh? Give away that free food.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible clearly says, you know, if you're not going to work, you don't get to eat. And I understand that some people just can't find jobs sometimes. But in this economy, if you want a job, there's so many help wanted signs, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's trades, you know, welders, carpenters, you know. Driving around town, I'm seeing these, and people just don't want to do manual labor. You can't be on your Facebook when you're swinging a hammer, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's tough. That's dangerous.
It's not cozy.
Yeah, you're telling your guys all the time, get off the phone. You're going to fall off the roof.
Right.
Right? I like this one. Pitcher. You're kind of getting in a picture like Christopher Columbus, okay? He's sailing off in the blue yonder, and look up ahead. What is that I see? It's the internet. Did you catch that? They discover, and I know it's just kind of petty here for me, but they discovered the internet,
right?
Like it was
gravity already.
It's like, no, the internet was created, but I just thought that one was kind of interesting. What about the words to Putin and President Xi of China? You know, he's telling everybody, they say this, they say that. Isn't that kind of like going to Mike Tyson back in the day before the fight and saying, hey, do you think we can beat you? I'm going to kill you. Did you sense that attitude that he had with?
Well, within that whole context, one thing that really jumped out at me is Biden said, and I got tough on Putin about interfering with our election. And I'm like, what?
What?
Wait a second. Are you talking about the election that just happened? Because you've only been president since then.
Yeah.
What did you just confess there? What slipped out of your mouth? I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Another one?
Another one.
Or did we go through them all?
Well, I mean, there's some other minor things, but I wanted to jump to him, Biden, creating 1.3 million new jobs in his first 100 days in office.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, in your first 100 days in office, you can't take credit for that.
No, you can't. And honestly, we would have to be honest if Trump was still in office too about those job increases. How many jobs were lost and people were laid off? Are we really, how many new jobs are we really creating? We're starting to build back the jobs. People going back working at the restaurants, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. I mean, there's not some, I see the numbers and everyone's like, biggest GDP growth in however many decades. I'm like, yep, you got to take this with a grain of salt because we had an absolute crash there in the first and second quarters when people were laid off and couldn't go to work. You got to look a little longer term.
You got to, and you got to look at the governors like Ducey, you know, by reopening schools and getting rid of the mask mandates, restaurants reopened, schools reopened, and you can say, sure, teachers have been working, but what about the janitors and the other infrastructure staff that didn't have to do anything at the school building for all this time, and they were laid off?
Yeah, true.
You know, so that was kind of a whatever. But the big thing that jumped out at me after that was he said unions built the middle class.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that.
He basically wants to unionize the whole country. Yeah. You know? So if you go to states like New York, you can be required to join a union in order to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's a right to work state,
which they want to get rid of. They had that. There's a bill in Congress. I had somebody on it. I can't remember the name.
There is a bill in Congress.
Yeah. They want to make sure that nobody's right to work state. Look, if you want to join a union, fine. I have no problem with private unions. I have a problem either with unions that go over government employees, because that's a whole nother ball of wax for me. So, all right. We'll see what happens. Let me ask you this as we wrap this up, but we'll bring Rob. I don't know if you can stick around with Rob next hour to debunk the gun stuff that he was saying.
I'd love to.
Yeah, so we'll do that, but we've got a couple minutes here. Let me just ask you this to sum this up. Is there any way out of, back to the moral hazard, back to the bailouts that happened in 8 or 9 or whenever they went through of $650 billion, and now it's just trillions and trillions and trillions, and now it's give me free stuff from when my kid is 3 to 20, and then when I'm 65 or whatever the age is, then there's free stuff. Now they want to fill in the middle. Is there any way to unwind this stuff now?
It's really hard, you know, and this has been going on in New York State for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, in most states, your kid's emancipated at 18 years old. They're out. They're on their own. You're not responsible for them anymore. In New York, it goes into their 20s.
No. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
At what time does your kid grow up?
That's the thing. I mean, I don't see how you, Mark, how you unwind this stuff.
And how do you take it away? Because New York
clearly hasn't ever
taken it away.
The child tax credit thing that I've been talking about a lot, the universal basic income, if just because you have kids. Mark, you're probably going to get a check starting in June or July because you have kids. Because, look, I did the numbers yesterday on the show. Even if you make $250,000 a year, that's a very healthy annual income, very healthy. You're still getting $500 a month with 3 kids. So... And then now they want to extend it in this new package to 2025. They can't take it away once they do it.
No, and you know, the thing of extending it to 2025, right, is either Biden gets reelected, or if a Republican gets elected, it's going to go away within his first year.
Yeah.
And then he's going to have all this pressure to extend it or be the bad guy.
Yeah. No, exactly. So you're a Republican president and you come in 2000 and where are we looking at? 24. It'd be 25.
Start in 25. 20, yeah.
That's what I did. Okay. That makes sense now.
Yep.
You come in and then all of a sudden it's I'm the bad guy. I'm taking away your candy.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Let's do this. We're going to come back with Rob Wilson of Timberline Firearms and Training. And he's got the stats on when the assault ban was in place, and they want to put that in place. So we'll talk with him, and Mark will stick around. Don't forget, go to talkwithjeff.com and subscribe to the podcast. Click on how to listen. Click on subscribe. Fox News coming up top of the hour. Back in just a couple minutes.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
Let's talk more about Biden's speech. Let's get into the assault weapons ban with Rob Wilson and Mark Howitt. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back to another hour of the show. Jeff Horowitz here. If you've got a comment, I'd love to hear from you. Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. Leave your comments today. I'm going to do 3 open line live listener comment days next week, starting Tuesday. So that'll be a lot of fun. And Mark Howitt, who's stuck around here, we were chatting, breaking down Biden's speech last hour. You're going to join me on one or maybe several of those days. So that's always a lot of fun.
It is always a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love your comments.
Live calls.
I love the comments. You know what I don't like, though? And let's bring in Rob Wilson. We got Rob Wilson from Timberline Firearms and Training. Actually, I think we spoke with you yesterday, too, on Open Line Wednesday, right? The days are blurred.
Yeah, just for a second. Yeah. Time to they should forgive my SBA loans.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They should. I mean, the moral hazard of all this
stuff.
You're
giving away stuff.
Yeah, you're giving away stuff. I mean, if Rob didn't get college debt, why not forgive his SBA loan? Or why not forgive the credit card debt that he has for all the safes he bought?
there you go.
You still got a lot of safes there in stock. I don't know if you have any credit card. But yeah, why not? Rob should get 10,000 in safes that he could resell.
I like it.
Sure.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
You know, that brings up an interesting point, and I think we're going to get into the assault weapons ban, but yeah. if the government really wanted to do something for people, give away gun safes.
You know, yeah.
Say,
yeah.
hey, you own a gun? Here's a gun safe. Keep your kids from
keep your kids
guns.
Safe, yeah. You know. Good idea. Rob, good idea. You like that?
I think City Hall could find some funding for that, and I'm happy to deliver them. So,
How about that? Okay, let's break this down. The assault weapons ban was, what was that, in the 90s, Rob?
It was instituted in 1994. Yeah, so Senator Feinstein, with some support from at that time, Senator Biden, both of whom, you know, are still in politics and still trying to solve the same problems.
They're going to get it this time.
They introduced right? this time they'll get it right. You think? So what they did is they introduced an assault weapons ban. One unique feature of it is it had a 10-year sunset clause to it. So they said we're going to introduce this ban, and if it works, then we'll just keep renewing it. But if it doesn't work, it's just going to go away. So it banned a whole bunch of different things, but basically what it said is any semi-automatic rifle that also had things like an adjustable stock or a pistol grip or a flash suppressor, a semi-auto pistol that had a threaded barrel or could take more than 10 rounds, or for some reason, if it weighed more than 50 ounces, it needed to be banned.
Okay.
So, and a variety of other guns. And so they got this law passed. It was a 52-48 vote in the Senate. So it kind of just squeaked by. And it went into effect. But one thing it did do was it grandfathered in all of the existing high capacity magazines, all of the existing, you know, privately owned firearms. And it was in place for 10 years. It was challenged a number of times on different legal bases. And none of those won.
Okay.
So after 10 years of this ban, so, you know, we banned all kinds of imports. We made it more difficult to get a federal firearms license to be a seller of firearms. We did a bunch of things. There were a number of studies done, funded by the Department of Justice and other organizations. And the DOJ study concluded with, we cannot clearly credit the ban with any of the nation's recent drop in gun violence.
Can't connect the assault weapons ban with any of the drops in gun violence. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's what the study said. That's what DOD said. Yeah.
An important stat here is that generally firearms violence has been on a downward trend for the last couple of decades. Despite the fact that the number of privately owned firearms has gone up dramatically, the number of firearms homicides have gone down. So banning firearms, you'd have to believe that somehow more firearms results in more deaths, which is factually just not true. So banning them isn't going to have any of the desired effects. We've tried it once and we proved it doesn't work.
Well, where'd they get their stat then? I mean, I'm listening to Biden's speech. Mark, you heard it. He said it, that we got to get this back into effect. What's he looking at?
He's looking at a study that was conducted about 4 years in. And that study, actually, it's interesting. The authors that did that study were part of the final study afterwards. 4 years in, they looked at some preliminary data, and they made an assumption that large capacity magazines wouldn't be used in crimes anymore because they had been banned. what they found out was that assumption wasn't true. So when they did their final study at the end of the 10 years, they found, oh, guess what? People are still using, you know, the same things they've been using in the past. So our previous, you know, short-term study had a flawed data point, and it's invalid.
What is the – and you've mentioned this on the program before, and Rob Wilson from Timberline Firearms and Training is with us, as well as Mark Howitt. What is the number one firearm of choice or type of firearm, if that's the right way to say it, in crimes or in murders? I don't know. However you want to classify it.
A semi-automatic handgun. And until just recently, semi-automatic handguns were responsible for the largest mass shooting events also.
Okay.
Rifles make up a very small portion of the overall homicide rate, less than 3%.
And when you say rifles, Rob, most people think of the bolt action 30-06, but you classify rifles also as an AR-15.
Sure. That's rifles of all types. So anything from a 22, you know, little, you know, the Remington or Winchester rifle your grandfather handed down to you, to modern sporting rifles.
Okay.
All of those rifles combined are responsible for less than 3%. 6% of all homicides are committed with knives. Okay. 5% are committed with hands, fists, and feet.
Well, we can.
So that shows you.
Mark, we ban them.
Yeah, well, here's my question, Rob. So Biden, during his speech, said that women are going to suffer about 600 murders at the hands of boyfriends this year. Mm. He wants to do this bill to help stop violence against women. But
I'm all for if it's going to stop violence against women.
But I'm guessing those 600 murders are probably not the boyfriend getting out the assault weapon or the rifle, but probably knife or the handgun.
Yeah, was he correlating the two, though? Or he was talking about a separate bill, not the assault weapons.
No, but he's putting the whole thing in the context.
Okay, you know, okay. It's all built on
getting rid of assault weapons. We fix this problem.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
You know, and it's only fair, I think, if we're going to cite those kinds of stats and say, okay, 600 women are going to die at the hands of a partner, to also look at how many women successfully defended themselves against that same kind of violence. The most conservative estimates say that firearms are used 500,000 times. So 500,000 times a year, a firearm is used to stop a violent event from occurring, and it's never discharged. Mm-hmm. That range goes from 500,000 up to almost 6 million times. Most of those events are never reported. So, okay, it's tragic that those women lost their lives, and we should do whatever we can, but would telling women you can't be armed anymore, would be taking their firearm away from them, is that somehow going to improve that stat, or is it going to make it worse?
What's in the bill, though? I mean, when you say high-capacity magazines, you tell me handguns are the number, are far greater prevalence of being used in these deaths and things than a rifle, for example. Are they proposing to take the handguns away then? Because if you were draw the logic here, Rob, and say if you wanted to make a difference, and I'm not advocating this. Don't get me wrong here. But if a higher percentage of handguns did it, then why are you going after the big, what you call scary looking AR-15? I mean, if you're looking at it logically, which they're not.
Well, because you nailed it. This all ties right back to that conversation we had last week about fear. Mm. We can instill fear in people with this evil black firearm that clearly has no purpose other than mass homicides. That's what we're being told. And the reality is, if they were being honest with us, they would say, you know, these things are actually used very rarely. The majority of the 20 to 30 million of these modern sporting rifles that are in circulation never injure anyone. And if we really want to start addressing these problems, we need to look at the mental health issues associated with it and focus our efforts there instead of talking about a photogenic firearm that instills fear in people.
So, Rob, it's obvious the Democrats don't have the answer to violent crime and to gun crime, but I'm more interested in getting at what are the answers. And, you know, when I look at the stats, Arizona had per capita twice the number of homicides by gun than New York State did. So we're definitely higher per capita. What's the real solution for getting guns out of the hands of criminals and keeping them out of the hands of criminals? What can we do as conservatives?
Well, it would be, you know, the same thing that's true with every other law. The laws that we currently have in place obviously are not effectively deterring behavior we don't want to see. So what we need to do is we need to make that deterrence more severe. And increasing the penalties for the use or the possession of a firearm would be a good step. But even enforcing some of the laws that we currently have would help a lot. And I think I've mentioned before, approximately 100,000 times a year, someone is denied a purchase of a firearm after submitting a background check. And the majority of those are convicted felons. But only 4% of the time are those people ever prosecuted for what they just did. So you have somebody who's previously been convicted of a felony and is not allowed legally to have a firearm and is dumb enough to go into a gun store, lie on a form, and try to buy a gun, and we just let them go.
You know, I've seen that stat before. And that's a felony, if I remember correctly, to actually sign that form with a lie.
Yeah, there's a statement right before you sign it that says if you falsify the information on this, it's a felony punishable by 10 years and a $10,000 fine. So your entire court case is on that one piece of paper. It has your name, your address, your height, weight, birth. You know, Your Honor, I would like to enter this piece of paper in evidence. I rest my case. It's as simple as that.
So why don't they, you know, what is wrong with us that we're not picking these people up after they do this?
I've asked that question of a couple of people that should be able to answer it. And the majority of the times it comes back is resources. It's a federal issue, and the federal law enforcement agencies don't have the resources to chase all these people down.
So in other words, the ATF now, probably, and maybe the FBI just don't.
They don't have that. Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
and they're going to put more resources into the IRS, you know, than following up on these things, it looks like. Well, look, I was watching, and folks, Rob Wilson's with me, Mark Howitt. I was watching some of these videos of people beating each other up recently. I think Bruce Sidling sent it to me. There was a food fight that happened in some restaurant somewhere where two. Did you see that one,
Mark? I did not see that.
They were just
an airport.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't get to the airport.
I saw the one in the airport.
Yeah, hey, but this one was like at a restaurant. You know the old bar fight movies where they break chairs over backs and you're like, that never happened. Maybe it did and we just didn't have cell phones. And maybe this is just normal behavior and we just never saw it. And then there was the airport, and it was under because Bruce texted me. He said Urban Decay, and I was like, yeah, we're getting a lot of Urban Decay, right? No, I guess it's actually a store. And it was at an airport.
That's the name of the store?
It was at an airport terminal. It looks like at the gate, right?
Oh, wow.
Rob, and they were beating the heck out of each other's. Not very good fight. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm picking on their style or anything, but it wasn't they shouldn't have been fighting, period. But especially they were fighting.
I really think humans have always been acting badly.
People just didn't have a cell phone.
We didn't have cell phones to capture it.
Yeah, there's so many. My son and I, Owen and I, watch a lot of the old history stuff, and they get the skulls of people, and especially early man, and so many of them had cracked skulls.
Right.
So nothing's really changed, I guess. Maybe we're just seeing it more, and we weren't designed to take all of this in, Rob. I don't know. Maybe that's what's driving people crazy.
Yeah. I think we need to find a disinfectant spray that can address urban decay. What do you think?
I talked about the too much disinfectants. They're spraying my daughter every day in school, Rob. But go ahead.
Rob, I'm going to lead you in on another statement. I'm sure you'll like this, but and I've seen stats, and I don't know how good stats are, but you know, one of them was saying that if you have a gun in your house, it's 22 times more likely that someone in your house will be hurt with it than a criminal will be stopped. And I kind of want you to segue into training and safes and all that from this question.
Well, that's like saying you're 20 times more likely to be in an automobile accident if you're in an automobile.
If you don't drive, you won't have an accident.
Yeah.
So we require a driver's ed, and you have to have a license to drive that shows that, you know, you've got good vision and you know how to turn the steering wheel, hit the brakes, you know, that kind of stuff.
But there's
we've all seen those people out there that even with that we know should not be driving.
But there's no constitutional right to drive a car.
But there is. The right of transportation in the United States is guaranteed in the Constitution.
Where is that?
It's the, I don't know.
Okay, you're going to have to come back.
It's free assembly. I don't know about transportation.
It's in there. But I'll get that for
free
you.
Free pre-K. I remember seeing that too.
All right.
No, Rob, it's a good point, though. I mean, people should be trained.
It is.
Especially
when you look at it as an isolated stat, that makes you go, But then when you think about it, okay, what people are most likely to have firearms in their homes, and where would those circumstances be? So oftentimes in high crime areas, people are going to be more likely to have firearms. Those are going to be in situations where people are probably have less opportunity to get training and proper safety procedures instilled in them.
That's a good point.
Is going to be higher.
That's a good point I never thought of, Rob, is if you live in, and I think half of the country lives in more urban areas.
Oh,
yeah.
Way more.
And we're kind of spoiled in rural Arizona. We could go to Timberline, but you could also go out into the forest and be in somewhere in 5 or 10 minutes. And in the urban areas, you probably don't want to go to that empty lot and target shoot.
Right.
No.
Bark.
So what you have is you have people going to their local Walmart or whatever, and they walk out of the store with a firearm and a box of ammunition and no training.
Yeah.
And then we act surprised that they somehow accidentally discharge that firearm, negligently discharge the firearm, and cause some harm. So it's not a surprise. The good news is that here in our area, here locally, we've seen a lot of first-time firearms purchasers here in the last year or so, and I have been super impressed with how many of them are very intent on making sure they're properly trained about the safety of firearms. So that's very encouraging to me.
Yeah, that's good. Let me get your take real quick because we are pretty tight on time here, and I know Mark's got he's got to jet out and run too, but were you surprised, and maybe we'll spend more time on this next week, on the census that happened and that Arizona fell short on the 10th congressional district? Because you were one of the finalists to be the chairman of the so-called Independent Redistricting Commission.
Right. I was quite surprised. That was pretty much a given by all the folks that really watch this stuff. And there's one of the things I learned while I was in the process of trying for that position is that there are some wonks out there that really into redistricting, and it was a pretty much given that Arizona was gaining a seat. So I was quite surprised to see that. I'm anxious to see now how that's going to play out, both on a state level and more importantly here for the listeners in your area, how are our local counties going to redistrict themselves? We have a statewide redistricting commission that is supposed to do it independently. But how are we doing it on a county level? And are we sure that that's being done in a fair and impartial manner?
Who does that? Is it the county board?
You know, it varies by county. Okay. And it's not easy to find out, I've learned. I've been doing some research and digging and asking some questions. So it appears here in Coconino County that that's something that's going to be delegated down by the board to the GIS folks, the geographical information system folks.
Yeah, everybody's delegating, even Biden. He's got Kamala Harris doing everything. Maybe she's doing it.
Well, you know, when you don't have any answers, you either create a committee or you delegate, right?
Yeah. delegating isn't bad for workload, but it'd be nice to know. I guess if anyone is listening from the county, we sure would like to know how this, and maybe I'll do a little digging, Rob. How did those county districts get drawn? I kind of missed it. You know, we used to have Supervisor Jim Parks from Coconino County and also Supervisor Art Babbitt, and they would both come on often. I don't know. We got to get some connections, I guess, and figure this out.
You know, I'm going to pipe in here real quick. One thing that's long since bothered me is Coconino County is half Navajo Nation, half.
Yeah. A lot of Navajo Nation covers it. Yeah.
So, you know, they get a supervisor that covers their district. They get the right to vote here, get the benefits, but we don't get to tax them.
That's true.
No property tax.
There's a lot of that goes on though. The university.
Yep.
Northern Arizona University, for example, the city of Flagstaff has no say in the authority over them, but the folks on the campus can vote in the city election. It doesn't
in the county election. You get to vote for somebody that you don't have to give money to. It needs to be a different type of redistricting where we redraw some lines.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Rob, are you hopeful here?
Yeah. I've got a lot more to learn before I can say whether I'm hopeful or not.
The fact that
it's so difficult to learn and so few people seem to be aware of it is alarming.
Yeah. All right, Rob. Hey, we'll get you back on next week. Watch these gun bills. Watch these gun bills for us, Rob. And next week we'll open up the phones too for anybody who has questions. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too. And Mark, we'll get you in next week as well. I'm going to come back with some news items. You can share more of your trip next week too. And
yeah,
who the heck knows what's going
to
happen?
There's going to be a lot to talk about between now and then.
Unbelievable. Appreciate the time. I'm going to come back with some news items. Plus, I've got a couple of email comments I want to hit on. Don't go anywhere. Hang tight. Back in a minute. All right, welcome back. Let's finish up with some emails here. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I was laughing earlier in the program. I don't think anyone caught that because I did get, every once in a while, I get an email about how somebody loves the show, but ... It's usually some personal silliness, something I said or didn't say or a guest I had or even my staff. So I do encourage your emails, but the ones that where you're like, hey, I love the show, but I wish you didn't say this word this way or that way. Yeah, that's always kind of annoying, but I do, and you know who you are. I do appreciate your emails though, that you're pointing out news items. You're pointing out, even when you, hey, appreciate a story we're working on or agree with us. I really appreciate the emails that you send in to me that when you disagree and you disagree on the substance and the policies, that's fine too. Those are great. I appreciate all of that. The little petty things though, that gets a little silly, and I get a lot, you see them. It's just kind of funny. I guess it all comes with the course here. Anyway, go ahead and email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I'll get to some email here in just a second. I'm going to have to reschedule Walt Blackman, Representative Walt Blackman. Maybe tomorrow, it might be next week. I don't know. It just didn't work out today. So if you're waiting for Representative Blackman, just didn't pan out today. That's what happens sometimes when they're in session. They get hauled into meetings and voting and et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what we can do next week. Don't forget about this concert for the wall. Remembering Our Heroes with headliner Ryan Weaver, a high-energy, all-American rock and country music artist. April 30th, tomorrow, Friday, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. It's a free concert in downtown Williams. So good stuff there. Williams has done an excellent job throughout this whole past year, especially. So anyway, free concert, 6 to 9 p.m. tomorrow, April 30th in downtown Williams. Pretty cool. Email. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And see, I got an email from Governor Ducey. I get like two emails a day from him. Nothing really huge there. Some school support money coming in. You know what I do notice though is I'm getting, seriously, it's Tiffany Shedd. I get like two emails a day or one email a day on her campaign for, what's she running for? She running for attorney general of Arizona. It's too early. I can't take having, and I want to get the information, but it's like too early for a daily email from a campaign. So I actually replied back. And the reason I mentioned it because I just got another one, and I actually replied back to them. I said, too early. You're killing us here. Anyway, I did get here. Let's talk about the pennies. Randolph, we were talking about the content of the pennies and how the government's been cheating us and clipping the coins, we should say, or debasing the coins, like they did the pre-65 quarters, nickels, and dimes, and I think even 50-cent pieces, where they took the silver out. And yesterday we were talking about the pennies and how the penny just ain't worth what it used to be. If you have a pre-1982 penny, and Randolph wrote pennies are made from zinc and copper plated now. And yeah, we learned that yesterday too when someone said they used the pennies as washers rather than going to a store. You drilled holes in them and used them as washers because it was cheaper than going buying washers. Anyway, pennies worth a penny, but ain't worth that as far as the metal, zinc, and copper. Maybe it will be someday. But somebody sent me this other email, Coinflation. Donald, thank you for that email. Coinflation will give you the value of the base metals of U.S. coins. The penny after 1982 is 97.5% zinc with a current melt value of 0.007. Wait, is that 0.0076. Okay, that's from Don from Chino Valley. So you can actually go to coinflation.com and see what coins of different ages are actually worth as far as their melt values. And as we learned yesterday, you cannot actually melt these things down. It's illegal to melt down the coins, even when they're, because they know eventually people would want to melt them down because the metals are actually worth more. So, hey, thanks for those emails. Appreciate it. Here's another one from Danielle in Flagstaff. Doctor says no one should judge anyone's personal decisions about masks outside. Oh, they're referring to, let me back up here. They're referring to the clip I played of Joy Reid on MSNBC earlier in the program. Do we still have that one? Let's pull up that clip. Joy Reid she's a host on MSNBC, and she was talking about how she ran in the park, probably Central Park, I assume, or wherever, and she's jogging outside, and she's double masking. Here's what she said.
Gupta and Dr. Gupta, I am among the fully vaccinated, joined Team Pfizer, and I did go jogging today in the park, and I did, this was the mask that I wore with a doctor's mask under it, and most of the people that I saw that were in the park was packed. I would say like 95% of the people still had masks on. There are people who are getting really upset about that. I won't name them. Should people be freaking out that some people like myself who are vaccinated are still wearing masks outdoors? Should we do that?
Well, definitely not. Good evening, Joy. I think you're going to see residual masking based on personal preference for months, if not years, after this pandemic is over. So no, I think nobody should judge anybody else's personal health decisions. Having said that,
Nobody should judge personal health decisions. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that too. I mean, I try not to flip out when I see someone walking around outside all by themselves with a mask. I get it. Everybody should have their own personal liberty to do so. But let me go back to this email. Danielle in Flagstaff: doctor says no one should judge anyone's personal decisions about masks outside. That is if they continue to wear them. Okay. After he admitted they've known for months, wearing them outside was ridiculous. I cut it off there. I played it earlier, but he goes on to say wearing them outside pretty much makes no sense anymore. Chances of getting them are like nil, next to nothing. And Danielle goes on, remember when they mask shamed us for questioning wearing masks? Even outside, people were doing this. I added that. Remember the virtual signaling? Now we have to be quiet. WTF. Thank you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I take your point there. I guess we don't have to go and shame them like they did us, but where was Joy Reid and this doctor saying, you know what, stop going around the store and chasing people around because they're not wearing the mask. Stop harassing these people. Remember the videos of the people like eating at the parks? At the bench, and they took off their mask outside with their family, and there was all these videos that came out of people just pounding on them, and there's fights that broke out. Remember the person that got taken away from the ball game, and I'm sure this happened all over the place. This was early on. They were taken out of like the softball game or the soccer game or whatever in the stand because they refused to wear the mask outside. Remember all that? So I guess we just have to shut up now because hashtag science now, we were right. Good point, Daniel. Good point. Hey, here's one for you. National Park Service looking for hunters to lower the bison population on Grand Canyon North Rim. This is from ABC 15. I guess they got too many buffalo up there. National Park Service says because of the density and expected growth of the bison herd on the North Rim, they're concerned it could impact park resources like water, vegetation, soils, I thought it said sales, soils, and visitor experience. Yes, a herd of buffalo could ruin the visitor experience, especially if you try to pet them, which people try to do in Yellowstone. Quote, reducing the herd size will protect the park ecosystem resources and value, said an NP, National Park Service person. Anyone interested, there's an application online. Look up NPS looking for hunters to lower bison population. If you're into that and your experience, apparently they need people to go take some buffalo out and create some, I guess, buffalo burgers. Let me end with this today. I'll try to hit on this more. Probably not going to be tomorrow. It's probably going to be next week. And like I said, I'm going to have, I think we've decided to do three open line days next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and most likely Thursday, where we'll open up those lines to your live listener comments. So next week we'll hit on civil asset forfeiture more. It passed the Senate. This is really good news. So it already passed the House, and I believe this has strong bipartisan support, civil asset forfeiture, which is basically the law enforcement, police, the government can't take your assets away without some kind of due process first. If you're guilty, okay, they can sell that, but we've heard, and we've had on many people on the program here, too many cases of people getting their assets tied up, and they ultimately weren't guilty. It's no good. So this going to the governor's desk, if you want to send an email to the governor saying, sign off on civil asset forfeiture. I think that would be a very valuable email. That would add a lot of value. All right, folks, I'll be back tomorrow. Big weekly roundup. Got a couple of guests lined up. Hope you have a great, safe night. See you tomorrow.